Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you we can open your word. We thank you for all parts of your word, all living and all powerful. And Lord, we listen to a lot of things that come into our ears, most of which we shouldn't listen to. Stirs us up and confuses us and misdirects. That's the world, that's the flesh, that's the devil. But your word is truth. And Lord, may we be in your word more now than ever before in our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to be in Psalm 145 today. And when you see a 21-verse psalm, what might come to your mind? Anything come to your mind in a 21-verse psalm? I'm glad you all answered at once. Acrostic. That means that the first letter in every verse is one of the 21 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, it doesn't mean all that much to us in English because it doesn't translate, but this is the last of the acrostic psalms, and this is telling the glory of the Lord from A to Z, I would say. God is good is the central theme here in verse 9, I believe, and this psalm. We'll get into the last 146 to 150, will all be called praise psalms. This is the last psalm ascribed to David. Now, the last five seem to me they got David's fingerprints all over it, but they aren't. They're orphan psalms in terms of who wrote them because nothing is put on the document earlier on who wrote it. But this is a psalm of David, and I believe this is a psalm late in his life. Late in his life, he's seen the goodness of the Lord all the way through, faithfully through his life. It doesn't have some of the tenderness of the early psalms in terms of the innocence, but it has something that's more meaningful to me, and that is it's based on his experiences, tempered by his experiences. And when you're old, like we are, most of us anyway, we have a lot more experiences looking backward than we do looking forward. Not so when you're 20, but when you're 70 or plus or minus, we can see a lot further back than we can see forward, I would think. So we need to just extol his name here this morning. And I want to begin by singing a hymn. There's so many hymns that could be sung on this particular psalm, but in verses 11 and 12, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. So this old hymn by Fanny Crosby, To God Be the Glory, came to mind. So let us sing that if we may. To God be the glory.
Jesus, the Son, and give it back.
Now, that's man's attempt, but I can't help but think it's a little bit like heaven, because that's the annual Royal Albert group singing hymns in London, and they got 5,000 people in that choir. So we'll have a lot more than that in heaven, but and the acoustics here aren't really the best in coming through the setup and all, but still, we want to praise him, right? Well, let's read Psalm 145, and then we'll look at it just a little bit as we go through again. A song of God's majesty and love, a praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry, and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. So I would say, wow, as well. That's David looking back, led by the Spirit. And so as he begins this psalm, he's going to have six I wills. I think he's contemplating the goodness of God and the greatness of God, and he kind of gets overwhelmed in a way, and these are all the things I'm going to do for God. I don't know how many times you've said, I will, and then I didn't. But it's good to see what his heart is here. I will extol you, or I will praise you, or I will bless you. My God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. You agree with that? Every day I will bless you. How about you? Are you blessing him? Have you blessed him today? Or will you bless him today? Every day I will bless you. Now, I believe David is aware, as you and I are aware, this is where we live. We're not in heaven yet. It's a tough place. We've got a lot of discouragement. We've got a lot of trials and afflictions and resistance and so forth in this world. And yet, is there not reason to bless him every day? I will praise your name forever and ever. There again, regardless of circumstances, be praising his name, right? He is worthy. His greatness is unsearchable or beyond examination. Think of that. There's nothing you can look at with God and find fault with his greatness or find a limit to his greatness. Basically saying we can't praise him too much or we can't praise him enough. Really, can we? Now, here is something that we should be aware of. One generation shall praise your works to another. That's particularly important for somebody who's older than one generation, right? The first generation may have a difficult time with that verse in a way because they may not know it. But we know it, don't we? We can look back over many generations. Have we been really praising his works? Many times we just say God is love and you need him so you don't go to hell. Well, that's good. His greatest work was the resurrection and his redemption and his giving us that gift of eternal life. But think about all the things he's done, all the things that he continues to do. We're to praise his works to another generation. And you shall declare his mighty acts. Well, one of the acts was on the cross, no question about that. But that's not the only mighty act he's done. He's a creator of all things. He's a creator of you. He saved you from eternal banishment, which you deserve, which I deserve. And I really believe his greatest act really will be in bringing all of the believers to a Christ-like position and pulling us all to himself on that day, that perfect day when the believers are drawn to him. Then he says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. You may have those times of the day when that comes particularly vivid to you, maybe sunrise, maybe sunset, maybe looking at the clouds, maybe feeling the wind. Most of us don't like wind. I was reminded when you look at Acts 2 that maybe on our birthday, on the birthday of the church, there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind, right? And maybe out there is not the Holy Spirit causing that, but I hear it. I hear it. Then men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. They should talk about the great things God has done. And I will declare your greatness. Will you? Will I? Are we? They shall utter the memory of your great goodness. I love this word utter because it really means, it means eagerly, of course, but it also means to bubble forth. Bubble forth. This week at one point, there was a pot of soup on the burner getting warmed up, and it came to a little boil, and so it's bubbling up, right? Bubbling up. And you can't, unless you put a pressure cooker on, you can't stop that, right? It just bubbles up. Now, when you're around other people, is your love for the Lord bubbling up? Or they say, well, I don't know if he's a believer or not. I can't see anything in him that shows he's a believer, you know? No, it should bubble up. I don't mean in foolishness. I don't mean in fakeness. I don't mean no phoniness. Our witness that's phony, people will see it a mile off. And how many of us have had the honor and pleasure, privilege of either knowing or hearing or being with men or maybe some cases women of God who were mightily used by God? And it just every time they open their mouth, it like the Spirit comes out, right? And that is so powerful, isn't it? And so that's what he's talking about here. I believe that we should utter the memory of your great goodness. Remember the great goodness, not looking forward to only, but remembering what he's done. And our greatest testimony is what he's done in our lives. I mean, everybody can see the sunrise and the sunset. Everybody can see his mighty acts in a lot of different ways. But the witness that I have and you have in one respect is what he's done in our lives, right? If it's showing. Now, if your life is still just like the world's and you say, I'm a Christian, he always saved me, I'm a Christian, that's no witness at all. Because he said, come out from among them, right? There needs to be that difference there, the good difference there from the world, separated from the world, right? Verse 10, all, now we're going to have 14 alls here in this psalm. 14 times David will resort, or the Holy Spirit will resort to all. And all is all, right? There isn't any more than all. All is all. There isn't. It is all. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and listen to this, and your saints, your saints, your saints. By the way, that is you and that is me. Now, the world likes to think of saints or dead people that the church voted on, and if they could find enough things, then they became a saint. Well, guess what? The Bible says all believers are saints. We're all saints, so that's us. Your saints shall bless you. That's you, and that is I. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. Are you doing that? And talk of your power. Are we doing that? Am I doing that? To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. We need to get the word to others and tell them of who he is and what he is and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Just think about that, the glorious majesty of his kingdom. And we're part of that. He's our king. Is he not your king? Then you're part of his kingdom. Any believer is a part of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Amen. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. Wow. Verse 14, the Lord upholds or supports. He upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Wow. Feel bowed down today, weighted down, you have kind of down, pushed down by a lot of pressure and so forth. He raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you. And what? You give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. I don't know about you, but boy, the unrighteousness of man is just so irritating, isn't it? And I mean, you're just hoping for some righteousness to come out of that person, and all you ever see is unrighteousness, at least that you hear about. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. And here's a biggie. I put an asterisk by this one. Oh, they're all big, but the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Jeremiah 29:13 comes to mind. If you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. Now, who was that written to? That was written to the captives of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, who had been taken to Babylon for 70 years. Israel was taken, as we studied in Isaiah, well, actually in Jeremiah. Isaiah was Assyrians, did the same thing. But in Jeremiah, the whole book is about warning them they're going to go into judgment, which they didn't turn, so they did. So these are the people who failed the test in that regard, or of that. It may be they were believers in within that. I don't mean that, but This great verse 29:13 is not just to the super saints. Obviously, he hears our prayers, but he hears the prayers of all who seek him in truth. Now, that in truth is important, because if you're praying to him as just one of the many gods or as an idol, there's no answer to that prayer. But to all who call upon him in truth, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. That means you revere him, you reverence him. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Oh, I love that. Over and over in the scripture, he wants none to be lost, but all to come to repentance. He will hear their cry and save them, anyone who comes to him in truth. In verse 20, the Lord preserves all who love him. Do you feel preserved? I don't mean that in these bodies. I mean, yeah, I feel like some old preserves, right? But the Lord maintains, keeps, holds near and dear, and holds well and safe all who love him. Do you love him? But now this next part of the verse is equally important. But all the wicked he will destroy. It doesn't say all the wicked, all you protesters, all you that sign these petitions and so forth, get in there and destroy him. I mean, there may be a place for that, but that's not who the psalmist is saying will take care of the wicked. And that's not who will take care of the wicked. It's not us. We're to pray for them. We're to pray for their souls. God will judge them. There's not going to be any wicked in the world done that God doesn't know about. You don't have to tell him. But you can pray for him. But all the wicked he will destroy. And then verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Great psalm, isn't it? It is just like, how can you say anything about the Lord that hasn't been said there? Well, as I mentioned when we first started, we're going to adjourn here in just a moment and go next door and join the church there for their morning prayer during the prayer week, because they start every morning this week. They've had a prayer at 7 o'clock, so we'll join that. But let's just sing this closing song here, King of Kings.
That's such a
words are on page 4.
In the darkness, so we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came when there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and promise to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Jesus, to you we sing. Praise the Father.
Come on.
Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit.
Thank you. Father, we thank you that we can praise your name. We thank you for the power of prayer. And Lord, as we go next door now to join those who will pray this hour from 7 to 8, may we pray as you would lead us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.